Wednesday, July 16th. Welcome to the Fantasy Hooters Today podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg.
Wait.
It's what?
Huh?
Fantasy Hooters. Oh, I have something on my mind.
Oh, obviously.
Sorry. Fantasy football today. After yesterday, what? All I can think about.
Huh?
Probably a top 5 day of work for all three of us.
I hope everybody saw the picture that was tweeted.
Top 5 days of work.
It was up there for sure.
There was a day when the fire alarms went off and we had to get out of the building and we all went for ice cream.
That's not, Nando's last podcast was a good one.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was like a moment. That was a day.
So Nando's last day of work was fun. It was one of your favorite days is basically what I just heard.
It was a fun day. It was sad.
There might have
day,
been some fun
day.
Days when Chad was here.
We went to Hooters and we did a show and you're going to see it on the website, fantasynews.cbsports.com. Next week, we're going to talk about the draft we did for that show today. On our mock draft review, email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And I cannot express how important this is. Please, people, put football podcast in the subject line because then I get all the baseball podcasts. Oh, God. I just saw the tweet.
Oh, you saw what I did?
Yeah. I left my computer. Dave tweeted, I sincerely enjoy the pleasant company of house-trained felines. Ah, you can do better than that. A little disappointed.
Well, I mean, there's so many ways you could say like cats.
He was under duress. He was trying to get it done before you came back in the room. He's, you know, sometimes hard to think on the
I part. Would say don't do any work unless you can do your best work.
You don't want me to do my best work here.
Don't do any work.
Limiting myself to I like cats every time you leave your Twitter browser open, that's as far as you want me to go.
Yeah, that's a good point. So please email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put football podcast in the subject line. And if you are going to be anywhere near Foxborough, Massachusetts, on August 23rd. Please come to our draft party, cbsports.com/draft party.
Sing it.
What?
Sing it.
Fantasy party. It's fantasy party, not draft party, right? cbsports.com/fantasy party.
I'm going to guess it's going to take you until about August 11th to get it right.
Yeah, it's annoying for me.
It'll be about 4 more podcasts.
So, yeah, just come there. August 23rd, we start at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We're at the CBS scene in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And it's going to be great for fantasy players. For football fans, we're giving away some stuff and helping you out with your drafts.
I believe I'm going to have an announcement on a similar event in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
No kidding. Those
in Pittsburgh or near Pittsburgh.
Am I going to that?
Would you like to?
Not really.
Really? Why not?
A lot of travel, man.
It's fun.
I get tired.
Preseason game the night before, Steelers, Bills.
I like to go to these stadiums.
Yeah.
All right, maybe. Okay, let's get
to. You're gonna have to pay your own way.
Let's get to the pod. Oh, then no. Let's get to the podcast. Jimmy Graham,
what a cheapo.
4 year, $40 million contract with $21 million guaranteed with New Orleans. I don't know how much time we'd spend on this, but does this just solidify him number one tight end,
best wide receiver in football?
Is he a wide receiver or is he a tight end?
He's a rich
man. Where
should
I rank him? Yeah,
first round pick for sure, and we don't have to worry about him holding out. We'll see where he went.
Yep.
In the mock draft. Carolina defensive end Greg Hardy was found guilty of assaulting and threatening a girl. And I always have trouble with these types of stories because I don't want to make light of it.
No.
It's horrible. But if he gets suspended, does that influence your DST rankings with the Panthers?
It's going to be interesting to see how soon he gets suspended because he's appealing it to a higher court in North Carolina. And I'm not going to get into like the logistics of law there. All I know is there might not be a solution or a resolution rather to this case until after the season starts. So you have to wait and see. But the thing that I was thinking about last night is could that case impact Ray Rice? Because these two guys have something very, you know.
Yeah.
They've got a common bond this offseason, and it's a terrible bond. And, you know, one guy was worse than the other. But they were both very, very bad. Like one involved guns and
parties.
Allegedly drugs, and the other one seemed to be an isolated incident. I don't know. I can't really speak on it. But I wonder if the NFL can really give two different suspensions to these guys. They might have to give them both the same type of suspension, which
right.
means that they've got to go. If Hardy is found guilty in a higher court, they're going to go hard after him. And that means that Rice might have to, you know, suffer the same type of punishment.
All right, we'll see how that plays out. Let's get to the draft. 12 team, 15 rounds, standard scoring, so not a PPR league. And I was drafting seventh. Jamie drafted second, and Dave drafted ninth in this draft. Start one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, a kicker, a defense, and a flex, which can be a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end. And let's get to it. Round one. I don't think we'll get to the entire draft today. I think we're going to save part two till Friday. But let's get to rounds, who knows, one through whatever, dot, dot, dot. Jamal Charles, number
and we're
one.
Done.
Yeah, so let's just talk about Charles for about 30 minutes, guys, and then we'll read some emails. Jamal Charles, one. LeSean McCoy, two. Matt Forte, three. Adrian Peterson, four. Pretty standard in some order, right?
Yep, yep.
Eddie Lacy, five. Like it or dislike it?
I'm fine with it.
Standard league, no problem.
Calvin Johnson, six. Like it or dislike it?
Fine with it.
Yep, me too.
Jimmy Graham, seven to me. So Jamie took McCoy second. I took Graham seventh. Like it or dislike it?
Fine with it.
Yeah, same here.
Regretted it
Stop after the next pick.
Yeah, I regretted it immediately because I should have taken Monte Ball eighth.
Why?
I'm all in on Monte Ball. I don't see any reason why he's not going to have a great year. And I'm glad I took Jimmy Graham.
You see a reason why Graham's going to have a bad year.
I'm glad I took Jimmy Graham, but we'll see the running backs I ended up with. Second round, Doug Martin. Fourth round, Trent Richardson. Obviously, I took more after that. But I wish I had one that was a little bit safer for me, even though I like Doug Martin. So I don't know. I just feel like with the opportunity to take Monte Ball, I would have rather have done that.
So you would feel better with, just based on the receivers drafted after Doug Martin, you would feel better with a starting combination of Monte Ball and Dez Bryant by comparison to, or Monte Ball and Julio Jones, or Monte Ball and AJ Green.
Brandon Marshall.
By comparison to Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy. Yes.
I think the reason.
Would you? No.
See, this is the problem with picking 6, 7, 8 in a draft is the running backs that are left, because I think it's a consensus top five. I think Eddie Lacy's going to be in the top five.
I don't, but I'm fine with it.
I think most – you don't think in most leagues Lacy will be a top
five?
No,
I think Calvin and Graham go ahead of Lacy.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are going to take Peyton Manning ahead of him too. Just saying.
The thing that Peyton and Calvin and Jimmy Graham have in common is that they are just rock solid, dependable. You know what you're getting. You know it's going to make a difference in your lineup each week. And I don't think you can necessarily overlook that, which is why Jamie said that some people are going to take Calvin and Jimmy ahead of the running backs. Monte Ball is going to be a guy. If you're not buying in on him, you shouldn't take him in round one. If you don't buy in on Marshawn Lynch, you shouldn't take him in round one. The second-year running backs, besides Eddie Lacy, or maybe even including Eddie Lacy, maybe you don't buy into them, then you're an owner that's probably going to stare right in the face at Calvin Johnson and Jimmy Graham.
Got no problem with those guys.
I don't think you should have a problem with it at all because they're so dependable.
It's just my philosophy was like, you know, there gets to the point where you have to have the cutoff of the running backs you love, and those are the guys that I think go first for me and obviously for everyone else. Look, CBSSports.com ADP right now is Charles, McCoy, Peterson, Forte, Peyton Manning. So let's just say everybody loves those four running backs, and everybody's taking those four running backs over anyone else, generally speaking. I put Lacy and Ball in that category. Maybe there's six for me. And then after that, I'll start looking at the other positions.
What if you had gone Graham and Marshawn Lynch fell to you in round two?
Yeah, I would have felt better about it then.
So it's just your uncertainty with Martin?
No, because there's uncertainty with Lynch too. No, I would say that it would have had to be someone else falling. Maybe like Le'Veon Bell, who I see going later than I expect.
What's his average option right now?
16th. So that almost happened.
And where's Giovanni?
17th.
So it's interesting that those two guys are down there.
Yeah, like if I could get Jimmy Graham and one of those two, I'd be a lot happier about it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm sorry, my voice. But I did a mock draft with users on Friday, and Bernard fell to round three. No, wow. I'm sorry, round two. Excuse me, round two. It was a 10-team league. He fell to round two. And I was surprised to see him there. I mean, it's just... like Dave said, it's once you get past those four or five guys and you're talking about Bell and Bernard and Foster and Murray and Morris and Lynch and Martin and even Stacy, you know where they're falling to.
Yeah. They're not as pristine as the other running backs that go ahead of them, but they're still good. So I think if you kind of lump all those other running backs away from the big four, the big five, you know you're going to get one of them coming back in round two. And that's what you can feel good about if you take Calvin, Jimmy, Peyton, Demaryius
in round one. So I know what you would have done. Jimmy Graham or Calvin Johnson, standard scoring league.
Calvin.
Jimmy Graham or Monte Ball.
Graham.
Okay, so you like the order. So
yeah, I think the what you did was fine. It would have been interesting to see if what's the ADP on Calvin and Graham.
Calvin is 6, mm-hmm. and Graham is 10th. But he has the 8th highest ADP, but it's 10th overall.
My guess is now that the news is finalized with him, it might push up a pick or two.
Okay. Arian Foster, 9 to Dave. I know that's a point of contention for the two of you.
I just think it's too soon. I mean, I say it all the time. Dave likes Foster. You take him where you get him because he wasn't going to get him in round 2. So, yeah. But I do think the other 3 guys drafted after him are much better. Personally.
And those 3 guys are Le'Veon Bell, Giovanni Bernard, and DeMarco Murray. So running back heavy here with no quarterbacks, with 1 tight end, with 1 wide receiver. I'll recap. Charles, McCoy, Forte, Peterson, Lacy, Calvin Johnson, Jimmy Graham, Monte Ball, Foster, Le'Veon Bell, Giovanni Bernard, and DeMarco Murray.
Now compare that to the ADP. Which guys that are in the top 12 average draft position are not in our top 12?
We know that Bernard and Bell are not.
And Peyton is.
And Peyton.
Peyton
and
Manning.
Lynch is, right?
No.
Lynch is not a top 12 player?
He's 14th.
That's interesting.
But Demaryius Thomas is.
So run it down.
Just to give a clarification, our average draft position does not separate PPR and standard.
Yeah.
So that's why Demaryius may be pushed up a little bit higher.
I don't have a problem with Demaryius being a late first-round pick.
You know, I was thinking about this other thing. You want me to run down ADP first?
Real quickly, top 12.
Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, Eddie Lacy, Jimmy Graham, Monte Ball, Arian Foster, Demaryius Thomas, DeMarco Murray.
Now, one thing we should note also is this takes into account mostly mock drafts, not real drafts. Because now everybody can go on the site and do, and I encourage this, to do mock drafts with whoever. You know, even if you're doing it against the auto picks, because at least it's giving you an idea of, based on projections, where guys are going to go. It's not the best indication of how a draft will go, but at least it gives you practice. And so that's where it's kind of factoring in. So Peyton Manning may be auto draft top 5.
Sure.
Which is pushing him up.
The only reason why I thought maybe it was probably more legit is because Drew Brees is all the way down at 14th. So if it was a lot of auto picks, I would have thought there'd be more than one quarterback.
Well, we've been adjusting over the years trying to make our auto picks a little bit more accurate.
Okay.
So we're weighting quarterbacks a little bit more.
Okay.
Even though the projections would say that they should be the first 12 players taken.
Right, just based on the amount of points they're going to score. All right, here's what I was thinking. Jimmy Graham, I can't really see anyone other than Gronkowski outscoring him, right? Safe to say? At the tight end position?
It would take a magical year from Julius Thomas to get there.
Yep.
Whereas Calvin Johnson, I could see other wide receivers.
Well, we have seen it.
But he was injured. Like, he was still...
Right.
But so Josh Gordon was suspended, I guess, for 2 games.
Right, yeah,
so,
he missed 2 games.
So I don't know that you have to take Calvin Johnson 6th overall. I don't know that he's so much better than the other players. There's not that much of a difference between Calvin Johnson and the rest of the group as I think there is between Jimmy Graham and the rest of the tight ends.
Okay, but what would you say the odds are that he finishes as a top 5 fantasy wide receiver?
Oh, it's close to 100% as you can.
Okay,
get.
Can you say that as 99%, you're basically saying?
In fantasy speaking, where there's no certainties, yeah, he's a safe bet to finish top 5.
So now take the other 5 receivers that are in the top 6. Can you say the exact same thing for them?
There's only 2 that I see that could.
I think Demaryius is.
I think Demaryius and Dez. I mean, Julio's got the foot problem. Marshall's got to deal with Jeffrey.
It's not just about top 5, though. It's about the difference between 1 through 5. Like, Jimmy Graham was like 80 points better than Vernon Davis, the number 2 tight end last year. Calvin Johnson wasn't even the number 1 wide receiver, and they are pretty bunched up.
It's definitely a fair point, and some things, you know, the Calvin detractors will take into account. You know, why would I want to take him there when I can get Julio in round 2 and take the chance on him being great?
Right.
The top receiver last year was about 25 points better than the 5th best receiver.
That's fairly significant.
Again, I'll ask you the same question. Would you rather have Monte Ball and Dez Bryant, or Calvin Johnson, and Zach Stacy?
Oh, Ball and Bryant, not even close.
Well, that's what Chris Towers, who picked 6th, made the decision, because he took Calvin Johnson over Monte Ball, And then in round two, he had Zach Stacy.
How about you guys? Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Calvin and Stacy.
You would?
I think it's just more certainty.
I don't know if Stacy would be the back that I would take.
Well, are you taking Andre Ellington?
No. Bishop you're Sankey? Probably
are you
right.
Taking CJ Spiller? I mean, these are the guys that were left.
No, but I might consider Dez Bryant.
And go Calvin and Dez?
Yeah, and then I'm probably not drafting another receiver the rest
okay,
of the
Okay, let's put that scenario out. So you take Calvin at 6, you take Dez at whatever it is in the second round.
And then 19. I'd get Ryan Matthews in round 3.
No, you wouldn't because he was gone.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right.
So Ryan Matthews is my number one running back. You can gag appropriately.
18. Sorry.
And then in round 4, it would
Rice,
have to be
Joy
Ray
Bell
Rice
or
Joyke Bell.
This is what I've been talking. Okay, all right. This is a big disclaimer here.
Our mock
drafts are running back heavy. I bet most people out there that are drafting are going to get better running backs in rounds 3
right,
and 4.
So like if I got Toby Gerhart in round 4
yeah, but you also
instead of Ray
though,
Rice, I'd be thrilled.
He's now turned the draft on its head because he's taken 2 top 5, in my case 2 top 3 receivers in the first 2 rounds. So now the owner who takes Bishop Sankey in round pick 1, round 3, like Al Melchior did,
yeah,
is now probably taking A.J. Green. Because the scarcity
if he's
of
paying attention.
And running backs start to fall to Dave's spot.
Right.
Yeah, which is what I've been saying for months. It's
I don't
like,
know
that's
if you can get that type of credit, though, to every single fantasy league and every single fantasy owner. Because a lot of owners stick their head in the sand. They only deal with their team and who's on the board. They're not going to notice a run on receivers early and jump on it. I think the top 7 receivers are going to be gone by the 3rd pick in round 3.
Well, no, you're still looking at the draft board and saying, okay, A.J. Green is still there. Green's not going to fall to round 3 in many drafts. What's his average draft position?
A.J. Green is 20th or 21st.
So he's not falling.
All right, Dave, you're picking 30th in this scenario. You have the 6th pick in this scenario. You go Calvin and Dez. 30th, you're looking at Bishop Sankey because Ellington is 29th right now, according to ADP. Bishop Sankey, C.J. Spiller, Reggie Bush, Ryan Matthews, Toby Gerhart, all in that range. And up to your next pick.
Yeah, I think Sankey's the highest ranked guy I've got there.
Sankey, and then you could get.
No, you have Matthews ranked there.
Do I? All right, then I'll take Matthews.
You'd have to get like Sankey and Ray Rice, or Matthews and Ray Rice as your 2 running backs.
And I think there are going to be some fantasy owners that might be willing to deal with those 2 as their starting running backs to begin the season. Asterisk for Ray Rice,
yeah,
and then continue to draft running backs.
See, I don't think you could define it though with the first 2. I think it's the 3rd and the 4th guy.
Yeah, you got to keep going
because it's the rotation that you have to deal with. Because you could say, okay, I'm starting Matthews, and I'm starting Sankey or either one of those 2 guys. But Sankey, we have never seen play an NFL down, and Matthews, there's some problems this year potential.
You could go Ryan Matthews, Ray Rice. Who do you like, Rice or Vereen? Standard scoring.
Let me check my rankings. I've got Rice ahead of Vereen.
Matthews, Rice.
Assuming a short suspension for Ray
Richardson
Rice.
Or Tate?
Richardson.
Matthews, Rice, Richardson, and maybe if you're lucky, Ridley or Joyke Bell.
So okay. Now this is a great team.
Yeah, and if you're not
at
lucky,
the very least, I've got good depth at running back. Maybe I get off to a hot start and I can consolidate 2 of those running backs into 1 great back
to pair with
Calvin
unlucky,
and Dez.
Then you're talking Steven Jackson instead of Joyke Bell.
I'm never taking Steven Jackson ahead of Joyke Bell.
No, then you get to the Pierre Thomases. You have to reach for those guys.
Yeah, but then, you know, right after that, there's a crease where all the rookie running backs start to come into play, and sure. I feel good about a lot of those guys.
All right, let's get back.
Because remember,
to the,
I'm just accumulating running backs hoping that I don't need every single one to hit. I just need 2.
Yeah, right. All right, round 2, Demaryius Thomas, Alfred Morris, Marshawn Lynch, Peyton Manning to Dave. So he goes Arian Foster round 1, Peyton Manning round 2. Drew Brees, Doug Martin to me to give me Jimmy Graham and Doug Martin. Zach Stacy, Larry Hartstein, takes Andre Ellington, Dez Bryant, Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones to Jamie to give him McCoy and Julio, and Brandon Marshall to Al. So, again, it's Demaryius Thomas, Alfred Morris, Marshawn Lynch, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Doug Martin, Zach Stacy, Andre Ellington, Dez Bryant, Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall. React.
Well, again, you said it. It's not going to happen in most user drafts that Peyton Manning and Marshawn Lynch are going to fall to round 2. Maybe Lynch does, but Peyton Manning's not going to fall to round 2. I mean, it's just...
Right, it's not going to
happen.
There's going to be a guy in every league sees what he did last year, and they're going to...
It is funny because I did a blog on this thing that I wrote for something else, but I just used it as a blog for waiting on quarterbacks. And I was really surprised at the responses so far that have said in agreement. It's been probably 80-20 in agreement. I weighed. The one guy said, which is the anti-Herc statement, he said, I've been in the league for 14 years. There's always a guy who takes quarterback every year in week one. And that particular, not the
in
same
round
guy.
One?
In round one, excuse me. That the people who do it has never won the league. So, you know, we could sit here and talk about it. And I think I saw a tweet or an email something about when you talk, you didn't win the league where you took Peyton Manning in the two quarterback league.
Yeah, I did.
You did win the two quarterback? I'm sorry. Then
but it was a two quarterback league, yeah. And it was Peyton Manning.
I forgot that you said that you won. I didn't realize you said you won it, and the email made me.
He had the best season in football history.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that, but he wasn't drafted in round one last year. You know, so it just goes to show you that the first guy, look, Aaron Rodgers may have been the first guy last year. We know how that worked out. So I think this, to me, is a good representation of how a draft should go, to how the order falls with the running backs in round one and Graham and Calvin. I don't like that Foster was your first pick, but to get a stud running back or a top 10 running back and Peyton Manning, that's winning to me. You know, because if you had done it the other way around, you were talking Peyton Manning, and let's just say you're shuffling guys down. It's Peyton Manning and Doug Martin.
No,
that's not as
it
good.
Could potentially be Alfred Morris.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the way that it changes things. You know, with you taking Peyton, it changed things. Could have changed things around. Yeah, Peyton and Alfred Morris is great as well.
So, what was your thought process there, Dave? You're looking. You took Peyton Manning. You could have taken Martin. You could have taken Stacy Ellington, Dez, Julio Marshall.
I've got a rule for quarterbacks and a rule about difference makers. The rule about quarterbacks this year is you have to get them at a bargain price, no matter who it is. When you look in the draft and you say, and before, in the past, I've said, I can't believe he's there. Now I'm kind of amending it to be like, wow, that's a pretty good deal.
Okay.
As long as you can say that about the quarterback, you take him, you push the button. And I looked at Peyton in round two and I said, kind of can't believe he's there. You know, usually
four
expect him
in.
To go a little bit higher. And, you know, he's a difference maker. He's a guy that's going to put up, on average, 25 to 30 fantasy points per week. Let's call it 25 fantasy points per week. And, you know, be better than most of the other quarterbacks in fantasy. Gives me a Jimmy Graham-like built-in edge on my roster.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel a lot better about my team because as much as I love Arian Foster and as much as I think he's going to have a good year, of course there's a chance he could, you know, tweak his back and he's out 6 weeks and my team turns to rubble. Peyton should keep me afloat.
What is Foster's ADP?
Arian Foster, ADP. We'll get that in a second.
I think it's actually right on with where I took him.
Yeah, it was the first round. It's 12th. It's 11 to 12.
Okay.
10th highest ADP.
10th highest, and I took him 9th.
So looking at Dave and just based on what you said, Dave and Jeff Tobin, those two guys got two first-round picks with their first two picks.
Tobin did what? Demaryius Thomas and
DeMarco
Murray. And not necessarily, because DeMarco Murray does have the 12th highest ADP, but his ADP is 14th. Depends how you want to use it.
Oh, I thought you said he's 12th. I'm sorry.
I think
he's 12th highest, but his ADP is 13th.
I think
he's 14th.
I think a lot of people are going to take DeMarco as a late first-round pick or an early second-round pick. He's going to go right in the swing. I mean, that's just where he's going to be. He's a good, productive back.
Are you going to do that? If you had the 12th pick, would you have taken a wide receiver?
If I had the 12th pick. I'm not taking Murray because I like Morris better. I like Lynch better.
You could take them both.
Yeah, I probably would have started my draft with, well, I don't know. I don't know how much better I like. Yeah, I'd probably take Lynch and Morris back to back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Jamie, 12th pick.
I don't think he's taken either of those guys.
I would have taken Murray at 9. So,
yeah, I know you
love him. Murray wouldn't fall there if I'm controlling the entire draft. But, yeah, I would absolutely take Murray there. And then I may have gone to Demaryius also.
Get a wide receiver in there. Mm-hmm. All right, round 3.
So it sounds like there's a lot of flexibility the later you pick in a draft.
Except I will never go running back under that circumstance.
Why not?
It's what I've been saying for months. They're just too risky. I mean, I want an elite wide receiver. That's my last chance to get one. So I'm not getting one in round 3.
But you can still get some really good receivers in round 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So I could get
Randall Cobb.
So if you're not in love with two running backs when you're up picking back to back at 12, 13, go running back receiver and then you come back and do the exact same thing the following round.
If Monte Ball and Le'Veon Bell were there, I would probably break that rule and take both those guys.
Okay. Right. There has to be two running backs.
You're not a Murray fan.
Look, his talent is undeniable. I mean, He had like the second fewest amount of carries in the top 20 or something crazy like that last year, and he was a top 10 running back. I just worry about the injuries. That's the whole premise of my running back argument.
He was very good last year.
He was, yeah. All right, round three. Bishop Sankey, A.J. Green, Alshon Jeffrey, C.J. Spiller, Jordy Nelson, Rob Gronkowski. Oh, by the way, Jamie took A.J. Green. Rob Gronkowski. I took Antonio Brown, my first receiver. Randall Cobb. Dave Richard takes his first running back, or second running back, excuse me, Ryan Matthews. Larry Fitzgerald, Julius Thomas, and Michael Crabtree. So, again, it's Sankey, Green to Jamie, who now has McCoy, Green, and Julio.
I got to say, when I got A.J. Green, I felt like I won the league.
Yeah, you
probably
did.
The best pick of in the draft.
You can tell, you know, when you draft on CBSSports.com, it tells you the elapsed amount of time that it took you to make your pick. Jamie took him in 5 seconds. What took you so long?
Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey.
It's funny because it was like, did this just happen?
Yeah, it's crazy.
A.J. Green fell to round three.
But there's nothing that's happened previously in the draft that's like, whoa, he fell so far. Like, every pick before him is justifiable.
The only pick that was a little strange, and I don't mind it because, look, again, same thing with David Foster. If you like a guy, you know you're not going to get him in the next round, was Larry taking Andre Ellington in round two. It's not going to happen. His ADP is what, you said 29?
I already forgot.
I think it was 29, you said.
Yep. He's not a second-round pick.
No.
He's just not.
Right. And so there's nobody that's going to look. I could tell you already because the draft hasn't been published on the site. The comments at the bottom are going to be, there's no way Andre Ellington goes before A.J. Green. You know, and there's no way that I mean, after that, you can justify it because then it went Dez, Rogers, Julio, Marshall, and Sankey shouldn't have gone ahead of A.J. Green. Like, Al could have slam dunked this draft as well. Jamal Charles, Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green.
Right. Yep.
And I would have taken Sankey. I mean, that was it was
no, you would have taken Ellington, wouldn't you?
Well, if he was there, but I'm saying the way that it fell.
Right.
Al took Sankey, I took Green. I was just, okay, who's going to be the one that falls to me?
Alshon Jeffrey after Green, then Spiller, Jordy Nelson, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Randall Cobb, Ryan Matthews, Larry Fitzgerald, Julius Thomas, and Michael Crabtree. So Antonio Brown was the number 7 wide receiver in fantasy last year. He is my number 1 receiver to give me Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin, and Antonio Brown. If Sankey had fallen, I would have taken him. Spiller, maybe. But I feel like he is an elite wide receiver.
He is.
And I feel like I wanted one. So what do you guys think of that?
The only reason I don't like it for you is because you took Graham. To me, you got to look at Graham. I know it's a tight end, and he's the best tight end right now and all those things. But I think if you take Graham, and this is what I would tell anybody who takes Graham in round one, unless it's, and again, you could put Antonio Brown in the same category as any of those other 6 receivers, 7 receivers, with Jordy Nelson being 7. I think he's your number one guy. You got to view him the same way you view Calvin.
Yeah, but I don't really get that argument because if you view him the way you view Calvin, then you've given up your tight end edge. You're trying to beat everyone
at
all these positions.
The thing is, receiver's so deep. Like, I'm just playing out the next round for you. So if you had gone, let's say, which is the running back you like best?
I would have taken Matthews there.
Okay, so if you go Matthews, and now you have Martin and Matthews, and you get Garcon as your number one guy, or Keenan Allen as your number one guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a toss up to me, but
That's the way I view it. Like,
no, it's just the philosophy that you were talking about with treating Jimmy Graham like you drafted him. Now you don't have to reach for a number one wide receiver.
It's not reaching. I mean, again, if you value Antonio Brown better than those running backs, then you take him there.
Yeah.
The way I view it is, I'd rather. It's like the same thing with taking Peyton in the first round or the scenario we played out with the two receivers the first two rounds. Like, at that point, I know I need to sort of stockpile running backs a little bit more than necessarily receivers because I know my receiving core is going to be bolstered by having, you know, Graham and that edge at tight end.
Can I just say one thing? How do you feel about Antonio Brown?
Very, very highly.
What percentage do you think he finishes as a top 12 receiver this year? Give me the Calvin question.
75%.
Okay.
Oh, I have more confidence than that.
Okay, yeah, then 85%.
Would you go 12? As far as to call him a difference maker?
I would, yeah.
How often would you bench him?
Never.
You drafted the right guy.
Yeah, I'm not saying you drafted the wrong guy. I just the way that I would approach drafting Graham and just kind of how the rest of the draft would play out for me is I would probably take a running back there.
Right, and that's why I wish I had taken Ball instead of Graham, because I felt the same way, sort of. I felt, like, guilty about taking Antonio Brown. It was interesting. What else? Dave, you took Ryan Matthews here, so it gives you Arian Foster, Peyton Manning, and Ryan Matthews. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good because I like Matthews this year. I think he's heading into training camp in a much different scenario than he has the past two training camps. I think he's got that job locked down. Danny Woodhead doesn't scare me anymore. Donald Brown coming in, sure, he'll take three or four carries a game. But I think when San Diego gets ahead, Ryan Matthews will be in there killing the clock. I think he's going to help them when they're in a nip and tuck game. There might be some games this year where San Diego's playing from behind, and that's when Ryan Matthews probably won't be much of a factor. But I still think he's going to be pretty productive, and I like him as a number two running back.
Are you okay having two injury-prone? If you consider – I mean, Matthews, I think you have to consider injury-prone. I don't know about Foster. Are you okay having those two guys as your one and two?
Sure, and part of the reason why is because I know I'm not going to spend a lot of my picks later on in a draft on wide receivers and tight ends and a backup kicker and – backup quarterback.
You have no receiver at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one problem I had, is that the receivers that were left, there was Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Crabtree, and I like Crabtree a lot. But I kind of looked at who was left, and I knew that I was picking again in what, seven spots?
Right.
I figured one would slip to me. I was kind of hoping that it was going to be Crabtree that slipped to me, and it wasn't.
And
but
Dave,
I'm still fine with who I got as my number one receiver.
That's why I took Antonio Brown. I felt like, you know, there's Cobb went right after him, but then after that, I wasn't really thrilled about those guys being my number one wide receiver.
And I had to wait for six other picks to be made before I was up again. You would have had to have waited for eight more or 10 more picks to be made before you were up again.
Ten more.
Yep. Right.
Anything else to say about this draft? Julius Thomas late in the third seems like good value.
I think that's very good value. Yep.
So that gave Joe, what's Joe's team through three rounds? Giovanni Bernard, Alfred Morris, and Julius Thomas.
Right, so he's wide receiver shopping too.
I want to bring something up about C.J. Spiller. So C.J. Spiller went fourth in this round. What do you guys think? Fourth pick, round three, in a running back heavy draft.
I don't have a big problem with it.
I mean, I like him better than all the guys that went after him. I like him better than Matthews by a lot. I like him better than Vereen. I like him better than Gerhardt. That's the guy that I go back and forth with, is Gerhardt and Spiller. They're back-to-back in my rankings. They're saying all the right things about Spiller, again, if you want to believe it.
I have one thing to say about C.J. Spiller. Look at his touchdown distance. Okay, he had two rushing touchdowns last year, 54 yards and 36 yards.
If you go over the course of his career, it's totally dependent on the long and
totally.
On the home run.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's Fred Jackson's job.
And that concerns me.
Yeah, you're not. I'm not expecting him to be 10 touchdowns. I'm expecting 6 touchdowns. You know, and then,
right. You
and
draft
then,
him then, for the yards, right?
And then a receiving touchdown on top of it. So I'm hoping for 7 to 8 on a great year, with 2,000 total yard potential.
And to say, six rushing touchdowns in 2012, and he was a top 8 running back that year, number 7 running back in 2012. So okay, just want to throw that out there. Anything else, or shall we move on?
Move on.
Round four. Well, let's recap our teams through three rounds. Dave?
No, I think we've kind of done that already.
Okay. So you know what, though? Sometimes it's easier for us than it is for people who are just listening. So
you're the host.
Arian Foster.
Lead the way.
Peyton Manning and
Ryan Matthews.
Jamie.
LeSean McCoy, Julio Jones, and A.J. Green.
And I am Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin, and Antonio Brown. Round four.
Jamie's winning because he got A.J. Green early in round three.
And he had the earliest pick, so it was kind of cheating. But Shane Vereen, first pick of round four. Toby Gerhardt.
I love Jeff Tobin's team so far.
Run that team down.
DeMarco Murray, Demaryius Thomas, Michael Crabtree, Shane Vereen.
That's an incredible team.
I love it.
It's great. Dave, you agree?
I'd like it a little bit better in a PPR league. But, I'm not going to argue with the validity of how good this team is.
It's not going to happen in a PPR league. Vereen's not falling that far.
You're probably right. I would have taken Gerhardt ahead of Vereen.
I would too, but I still love it. I mean, shuffling Gerhardt instead of Vereen, that's fine too.
Sure. He's never going to bench those guys. Simple decisions.
Well, most people aren't benching their first four picks.
Well, of course not. But you will if you draft a player who you're not too sure of. Like when you're drafting,
then you
early
be drafting
on.
Them in the
exactly,
first
but some people don't follow that.
Shane Vereen, Toby Gerhart, Reggie Bush, Andre Johnson to Dave, Vincent Jackson, Trent Richardson to me, Pierre Garçon, Keenan Allen, Victor Cruz, Ray Rice, Joik Bell, Stephen Ridley. Joik Bell was Jamie's pick. So again, it's Vereen, Gerhart, Reggie Bush, Andre Johnson, Vincent Jackson, Trent Richardson, Garçon, Keenan Allen, Cruz, Rice, Joik Bell, Ridley. Thoughts?
I struggled with Bell and Ridley, who I wanted. I ended up with Bell just because I think this was where I actually took a safe pick as opposed to a higher upside pick.
This is your second running back.
This is my second running back.
So where do you feel like – I kind of felt like after Reggie Bush there was a tier drop in the running back position. I was praying that Reggie Bush would get back to me, and he didn't. Do you kind of feel the same way, Jamie? After Vereen, Gerhart, Bush, the next running backs off the board are Richardson, Rice, Bell, Ridley.
Yeah. I mean, not that order, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like the first 19 or so running backs for me.
And maybe after...
And maybe 20. Spiller maybe should be lumped in with the good group and instead of the mediocre group. So maybe my top 20 running backs, probably about... Jamie might have a few more, 21 or 22, before he sees a drop-off.
Who's 20 for you?
20 for me is CJ Spiller.
Okay. What do you guys think about this round?
Well, I think this is, you know, you're catching up at the receiver spot a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're taking the last bits of potential top 12 guys with, Andre and Vincent Jackson are outside my top 12, but and Garçon is 12. But that group of Johnson, Jackson, Garçon, and Allen, Victor Cruz to me was too high, too soon.
Yep.
But, you know, again, you're sort of, which is the number two running back that I'm settling for, or in some cases, flex running back that I'm settling for here. And then it's, okay, I know I need receiver help, so I'm taking these guys, which to me there's almost as much negative as there is positive based on where they're being drafted. Like Andre Johnson to me is there's more negative in round four than positive. Vincent Jackson I'm okay with. Garçon I'm okay with. And then Allen, same thing as Andre Johnson.
All right, round five. Matthew Stafford. Cordarrelle Patterson to Jamie. Ooh, receiver heavy, huh?
Well, at this point, I'm looking at my – I was actually – the way I approached it was and this is where Al sort of screwed me up a little bit. Al Melchior was picking first. The reason I went Bell over Ridley was because – and this was the safety factor that I kind of hinted at. I thought I can get Ridley my next pick.
Ah.
I didn't think I could get Bell my next pick.
Ah.
Because I thought maybe Al would look at Dave's rankings and see Ridley lower because Dave's not as high on Ridley as I am, whereas we both have Joik Bell in the same range. So I thought if I went Ridley first – and waited on Bell, I wouldn't get Bell.
Ah, but Al looked at your rankings.
But Al looked at my rankings.
And took Ridley.
And took Ridley. And I thought Al had already, I'm pretty sure Al had two running backs at this point.
He had Charles.
And Sankey. And Sankey.
So
my thinking was he was going to go, because Al is basically, I'm going to fill out my starting lineup first and then move on. That's
gotcha.
The kind, like he won't draft four running backs.
Right.
But he did take his flex in Ridley. And that's what sort of, I was like, ugh. There, that ruined my limb. Because now, the reason I took Patterson, to me, Patterson, I'm okay starting as a flex because he could, to me, he's got Josh Gordon written all over him if he hits.
Patterson. Yeah.
So, I'm fine with him as a number two.
Me too.
I like him.
No, that's the thing, though. It's
yeah, as a it, flex, as, I love it.
That's the thing. It's like, okay, at this point, I'm looking at, do I reach for Frank Gore? No.
Right. Those are
Ben Tate? No. Rashad
right.
Jennings? No.
You're naming guys that you're not excited about. I'm excited about Cordero.
Yeah, I'm not looking at singles and doubles. I'm looking at home runs.
Sure,
and
sure.
To me, Cordarrelle Patterson is a home run. So as opposed to, okay, I know the way my team looks, and I love my starting lineup when we get to it. Absolutely love it. If anybody on paper thinks they have a better starting lineup, I'll argue all day long. But it's that second running back reserves that the public is going to look at and say, Joik Bell is really your second running back? And then your next best guy is Devontae Freeman? But this is where you have to sort of push aside the traditional view of
sure.
Have to take a running back as a flex and look at if Patterson hits to the potential that he showed last year, and I have A.J. Green and Julio Jones along with that.
Love it.
So that's kind of the way I approached it. But I would have strongly considered Stephen Ridley there, knowing that I do have A.J. Green and Julio Jones, and I could sort of mix and match with still some very good receivers down the road.
We should really talk about how the flex has changed. I don't know if we've got the time for it now. My guess is no.
I mean, I approach this draft like I don't need a running back to be my flex in a standard scoring league at all. I don't care. If I have a better wide receiver, I'm going with
it. Yeah, right. If you can get a receiver that's on a pass-heavy team, and I would consider the Vikings to end up being pretty pass-heavy this year, even though they've got Adrian Peterson. It doesn't mean they're going to get away from AP. They're going to put the ball in the air. It's Norv Turner running that show.
Right.
I think if you get that,
he doesn't need catches to score either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Patterson, yeah.
Yeah, he can take handoffs and run.
Scored a touchdown in five straight games.
Or if you're in a league that allows special teams touchdowns to count, he's going to get that too.
It was interesting. Dave did it. I did it. I think Michael Hurkum did it. And I want to say there might have been one or two more, and you can look at the roster grid and tell me what I'm not seeing.
Yeah.
Is these are the owners coming out of the draft, if you just look at their starting lineup based on the draft, have receivers at flex spots.
Okay, I'll let you know. Rest of round five after Stafford and Patterson. It's Ben Tate, Wes Welker, Michael Floyd, Frank Gore, Steven Jackson to me.
Why?
It's my least favorite team. Because Frank Gore went one pick ahead of me. Percy Harvin.
Why would you have taken Jackson over Rashad Jennings? If you like.
Oh, I think it's I'm a David Wilson guy, who I did take like four rounds later.
Right.
Why not take both?
I could have.
Maybe Jennings starts the season as your guy, and then they flip to Wilson, you flip to Wilson.
Yeah.
And you're not a Chris Johnson guy.
I also think that I'm lukewarm on Chris Johnson, I guess. I also think that
I'm just throwing out guys that are in the same situation as.
Well, I don't think that Steven Jackson should be completely counted out.
Really?
Sure. I mean.
Oh, I think he could have some good games for sure. I think he could also.
I hate the pick. Like, whoa. Our power just went out. That was weird. We're back.
Are we on?
It was a bad. Yeah, we're on. We're good. It was a bad
Is
pick.
Is that going to hurt our ears?
It was one of the worst picks in the world.
That was God telling you made a bad pick.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Percy Harvin, Emmanuel Sanders, Roddy White, Deshaun Jackson, and Rashad Jennings. And I think, Dave, you took Emmanuel Sanders here. People have to get used to seeing Emmanuel Sanders going
this
fifth
high.
Round of a standard
just scoring like league. They've got to get used to seeing Monte Ball go in the first round. Hey, what do these guys have in common?
They're Broncos,
and Sanders is taking over the Eric Decker outside role. Catching passes from Peyton Manning is a pretty good thing, and I think Sanders can end up he had a career year last year. I think he one-ups it this year in a big way. It's a gamble pick for me. I see Roddy White still there, and I know what his track record is. I considered him. I considered Rashad Jennings, but I'm going upside, and Sanders in a pass-heavy offense, or an offense that will throw effectively. I don't know if they're going to pass-heavy, but I think Emmanuel Sanders is a fine pick in round five. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I would have taken White over Sanders, but, I mean, we're nitpicking at this point.
Anything else to say
about
this
round?
Don't
sleep on Roddy White.
I love Roddy White.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to forget about Roddy White because they're going to look at last year. Oh, he sucked last year. Well, there's a reason he had a high ankle sprain, and he didn't really come back until the end of the year. But if you go back and you look at his previous years, the guy was taken
and now you're talking,
top 30 pick.
You're talking right now about a situation where there's red zone targets to be had because Tony Gonzalez is gone. And so.
Yeah, he had so many targets last year.
Right.
Targets in general.
Well, yeah. And look.
Because Julio was gone.
Julio's going to get a significant portion of it. Harry Douglas is going to get a good portion of it. Devontae Freeman is going to get a good portion of it. But so is Roddy White.
So is Steven Jackson.
No.
Come on. He's going to do something. He's not a complete waste.
Oh, no. He's not a complete waste. You just took him too early.
Yeah.
But
I think
the problem is you can't. He's not going to be a factor in the passing game like he used to be.
I don't know if he would have made it back to you. Round six.
I could have done better.
Yeah, but Chris Johnson was there one pick before him in round six.
Yep. All right, round six. Golden Tate. Colin Kaepernick, Vernon Davis, Torrey Smith, Chris Johnson, Julian Edelman to me. Dave took Torrey Smith. Julian Edelman to me, Pierre Thomas, Matt Ryan, Jordan Cameron, Jason Witten, Dennis Pitta to Jamie, Terrence Williams. We got a little tight end run at the end there with Cameron, Witten, Pitta.
Yeah.
Jamie, did you feel like you had to take Pitta there? Al, at that point, didn't have a tight end. And he had two picks before you picked
him. Well, right. At this point, I know Al's looking at my ranking, so I know what I have to do. I know I did not need a wide receiver because I have three of my top 18 and three guys that I love. and I didn't like any of the running backs that were there. So I'm not taking Knowshon. I'm not taking Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm not taking Fred Jackson. I'm not taking Terrence West that early in those spots. I'm just looking at the guys that went next. And so it's, okay, what makes the most sense for my roster? And at this point, I'm going, okay, now's the spot I'm going to consider my tight end and quarterback, which is what I do with my next two picks.
Did you notice, did you take into consideration Al's needs when you made the pick? Because
both of
you needed a tight end, but he had a quarterback already.
Absolutely, which is why I waited.
So there was 0% chance that he was going to take a quarterback. And a pretty good chance that if you passed on Pitta, he might not have made it back to you two picks later.
So it was knowing what Al had on his roster with Stafford and then looking at it and say, okay, none of these running backs interest me at this particular spot. And whereas I think a lot of people may panic because I only have two running backs through the first six rounds. Am I concerned about the depth of my position there? No, at that point I wasn't. I'm going to take the best starting lineup that I could possibly field, and then I'll mix and match my bench later.
And I think it was a good combination of that and paying attention to Al's needs.
Sure.
And those were very, very good picks.
Yeah, now you took Torrey Smith. Do you think Torrey Smith still has upside and room to become a breakout receiver, or do you think we pretty much know what we're getting from Torrey Smith?
That's kind of how I feel about Torrey Smith.
Right, it's not. I don't love the pick, Dave.
I just breathed into everybody's ears just then.
No, I mean, it's okay.
No,
you can breathe.
The pros with Torrey Smith, still the number one receiver there in Baltimore, still a deep threat, and change of offense comes in with a coordinator. Gary Kubiak did great things with Andre Johnson. In no way am I comparing Torrey Smith to Andre Johnson, but they could end up having very similar roles. I'm not a huge Torrey Smith fan. I was looking for the best available player at this pick, looking at what was left. I mean, I did like Terrence Williams, thought maybe there was a chance he could make it back to me. Didn't want to take a tight end because I want to really wait on a tight end if I don't get one of the best ones.
Well, why didn't you go running back or something? So at that point, you have Peyton Manning.
And why not Cameron, since you're so high on Cameron?
Because I'm looking for Cameron in round seven.
Or Witten.
All right, well, you got, at that point, Dave, you have Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, Ryan
I'm
Matthews.
Filling a flex here, right? Because I've got...
Yeah.
Because I've got two wide receivers, I've got two running backs, and I've got a quarterback.
You have Andre Johnson and Emmanuel Sanders. So you went with best available player, and you went Torrey Smith ahead of Chris Johnson, ahead of Pierre Thomas... Other wide receivers, obviously, tight ends, obviously.
Head of MJD.
So you like Chris Johnson? Torrey Smith better than Chris Johnson.
That's what this told me, because that was the decision I was struggling with. And I guess I don't really have a problem if Chris Johnson is your flex. But I mean, you know, I guess we've done the full 180 here on Chris Johnson. It was a few months ago where I was sitting here arguing for Chris Johnson. But the more I look at it, the more I realize if he screws up early on, the Jets are going to sit him. Tennessee didn't have that luxury last year.
Yeah. And apparently Trent Richardson's on a short leash in Indianapolis, right?
Well, I mean, there's nobody there, though.
Yeah.
Nobody there that could take the spot 8-9 weeks in a row.
But I just feel like, Dave, with your team, and you and I will probably look at Arian Foster and Ryan Matthews differently.
You think I needed the depth at running back?
I kind of do.
I see your point.
Was Pierre Thomas in round six a good pick?
It's just the way our draft is going. You know, it's so running back heavy at this point. And then the people who are, some would say justifiable, some would say not, afraid of Knowshon, afraid of Jones-Drew, afraid of Fred Jackson, and then not ready to buy into quite yet at that round of West and Robinson and Freeman and Lamar Miller and, you know, these other guys that are, you know, coming up next.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take a break here. We'll finish up the draft on Friday. We'll read some emails. You want to go ahead and give us your team through six rounds if you know it off the top of your head?
Arian Foster was my first pick. Peyton Manning in round two. Ryan Matthews in round three. Andre Johnson in round four. Emmanuel Sanders in round five. Torrey Smith. Round six.
Jamie?
Yes, it was LeSean McCoy in round one, Julio Jones in round two, A.J. Green in round three, Joik Bell in round four, Cordero Patterson in round five, Dennis Pitta in round six.
And I was Graham round one, Doug Martin round two, Antonio Brown round three, Trent Richardson round 4, Steven Jackson round 5, and Julian Edelman in round 6.
So how do you feel about your team? You hate it?
I ended up not really liking this team very much. But now that I've reflected on it a little bit more.
No quarterback
it's
yet.
It's all right. No quarterback yet.
Do you think that maybe picking early on is the best spot just because of how Jamie ended up doing with those first 3 picks?
I want a top 4 pick. I want one of those 4.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, but again, I'll go back. Let's 6 rounds. Jeff Tobin, DeMarco Murray, Demaryius Thomas, Michael Crabtree, Shane Vereen. He's picking last. Shane Vereen through round 4. Round 5, it was
Rashad Jennings.
Rashad
and then
Jennings.
Golden Tate.
Yeah, I'm
you
taking
start
your
to
team.
See,
ahead
you
of
start
his
to
team.
See a little bit of a drop off, I think.
And I'm taking your team. Yeah, but who, even if I don't get AJ Green, even if I get Alshon Jeffrey or Antonio Brown, I'm still taking Jamie's team.
All right, let's just say it was Gerhardt because you know we both like Gerhardt better. I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh, don't worry about me.
Well, I do worry about you.
Gerhardt or Vereen, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one seems to be like.
Do you like lots
safe.
Of touchdowns?
All right, so
I'd go Gerhardt. Yeah.
Let's say I'm okay with Golden Tate at that spot in round 6, but let's just say he took Golden Tate in round 5, and let's say he went, forget about my feelings, but let's say he went Golden Tate, Vernon Davis, that spot.
Vernon Davis instead of Golden Tate?
Yep. No. Vernon
instead
Davis.
Instead of Rashad Jennings?
Oh, instead of Rashad Jennings.
Davis and Tate instead of Jennings. So now he's got no quarterback, but his lineup is Murray, Gerhardt, Crabtree, Thomas, Vernon Davis, Golden Tate as his flex.
It's pretty good. It's really good. It's a great team. I actually don't mind having...
I like it better than both of yours, no offense.
Yeah, I do too. I absolutely do. That Steven Jackson pick sucked for
my
me.
Team's awesome.
That was honestly the pick that just dragged my team down. But I feel like I made some good later round picks.
Well, lucky for you, it was just a mock.
So we're stopping around 6?
Yeah, we'll stop around 6. We're at 52 minutes already. Let's read some emails here. Dwayne in Columbus, Ohio. Good morning, Axe Smash and Crush. 12-team standard scoring league. He needs a keeper. I've already lost my 3rd-round pick in a trade, so I need to hit this draft string. I've got Brandon Marshall, but I also have Arian Foster and Monte Ball. Is keeping Brandon Marshall and drafting the best running back available in the first the best strategy? So it's Marshall, Foster, and Monte Ball. Who do you keep, standard scoring?
Ball.
Foster.
You have Foster ahead of Ball?
Yeah.
Really?
Ugh. Why?
Because I think he's going to be an animal. Get a lot of work this year. I think it's his last big year.
Okay. From Greg Dollins in Whittier, California. Did I say who the first one was from? If I didn't, it was Dwayne in Columbus. 10-team PPR Keeper League. We're allowed to keep 3 for as long as we want. I'm going to keep Forte and Gronkowski, so give me a 3rd keeper. It's PPR. Garcon, Reggie Bush, Andre Ellington.
What if you could get the Reggie Bush at a younger age? A guy like Reggie Bush.
That is him.
But a lot younger and without all the troublesome knee issues. That would be Andre Ellington.
Oh, good call.
I would take Andre Ellington.
Yeah, especially since you keep him as long as you want.
From Ricky. Where's Ricky from?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
10-team PPR. Oh, is he coming to your event?
No.
10-team PPR league, I will more than likely
that day.
Be picking late in the draft order. We get 1 keeper. We're penalized by losing the pick 1 round ahead of where he was initially drafted. So, do I keep Alshon Jeffrey in the 12th, Zach Stacy in the 11th, or Giovanni Bernard in the fourth round? And that's a 10-team PPR league. Jeffrey in the 12th, Stacy in the 11th, Bernard in the 4th.
That's tough. For me, it's between Gio and Jeffrey, and I'd take Gio. So especially since next year I can keep him for a 3rd. Year after that, 2nd, might be right around where he's at. I mean, if you really love Alshon Jeffrey and what you saw from him last year and think that he can translate what he did with McCown and a little bit with Cutler into becoming a full-fledged dynamo year after year after year, no matter how the yes. wind blows in Chicago,
yes.
then you take him because then he's on your team forever. If you think he's going to be, you know, in the conversation with Dez Bryant.
Gio for you.
Jamie? Jeffrey.
Jeffrey for
because
you.
Of the value.
All right. Secondly, if I keep Jeffrey, should I go running back? And if I keep either Gio or Stacy, can I get away with going receiver? 10-team PPR league. You know what? It's too much. I'm sorry. We have to move on.
I think you can go receiver if you keep Gio.
Yeah, I'd go running back and keep Jeffrey.
I guess it wasn't too much. Josh in Tulsa. He says, Dick, Jason, and Tim. Anyone?
guys I went to junior high with.
Sure. My league is implementing a new rule for the upcoming season. We can keep two players from our previous year with no penalty. So keep two. Peyton Manning, LeSean McCoy, Monte Ball, A.J. Green, Dennis Pitta.
That means keep one.
Right.
LeSean McCoy's easy.
So keep McCoy and Manning, Ball, I'd Green, Ball. Pitta.
I would also keep Ball.
This one.
We don't know how deep his league is. If it's a 10 or 12 team league, it's definitely.
It could be an 8 team league, and I'm still keeping those two.
Dick, Jason, and Tim.
Yeah, especially since you can talk about keeping those two forever. Is that kind of how I understand it? No penalty? Keep two players from
the
previous
years? No penalty
years?
Would just mean no draft penalty.
Right. So I'm going to start my draft the next 6 years with LeSean McCoy.
You don't know that. I mean, it could just be the upcoming season.
This has something to do with Batman and Robin, by the way. Next up is Jason from a suburb outside of Chicago, but don't call it Chicago.
Homewood.
Dear Leono, Panthro, and Snarf. Adam will get this since he loves cats. It is Thundercats, right?
I think it is. Snarf is what got me.
Non-PPR, two-keeper league.
Oh, yeah. Lion-O is like the top Thundercat.
Yeah. Lion-O. Leono? I can't believe I just said that.
Leono.
Non-PPR, two-keeper.
Well, he did write it without a hyphen. Lion-O, I believe, is how Lion-O goes by.
You keep them at the position you drafted them with no first-year penalty, and then one round after up to 3 years.
Do you think Lion-O got slack in elementary school for his name? Because it's not exactly
a stellar
name. Yeah, but
then he killed everyone, and that was that.
Do Thundercats kill?
He maimed everyone.
Adam-O.
I'm keeping Eddie Lacy in the eighth. Who else? Calvin Johnson in the second, Jimmy Graham in the third, Reggie Bush in the fourth. RG3 in the ninth, Luck in the 12th, or Joik Bell or MJD in the 16th.
Graham.
Yeah. Because the value is equal between Calvin and Jimmy in terms of like the type of player and their ADP, but you can get Jimmy around later.
Okay,
or
guys.
Keep him for around later.
You could draft Calvin in the first round.
Thunder, 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 Thundercats. I never watched that show. That's as close as it is.
And I'm out. Good show.
Have you ever maimed anything?
Inanimate objects during Yankees, Giants, Knicks, Hurricanes games. That's about it.
Did you cry last night?
No, my cable was out. I didn't get to see the game.
So you didn't get to see Derek Jeter's last All-Star game because that's meaningful for some reason?
I saw the clip. It's very meaningful.
Who cares? It's an All-Star game.
Care.
Are you upset that Wainwright grew
last
pitch?
Game, I care.
Wainwright didn't groove him anything, man. Look at the pitch Wainwright threw Mike Trout right after. It was the same freaking pitch. Did he groove Trout something?
He took something off it.
Bad pitch, that's all it was. Bye.
Bye.